This podcast contains strong language and adult themes. It may not be suitable for all listeners, so please use discretion. Huge thanks to Andre, aka @FreakyFWoof, on Twitter for the music you'll hear in this episode.
Welcome to West Side Story, the podcast where we introduce you to Wes, a man of many words, a few facts, and always a West Side Story. I'm Nadia.
I'm Ed.
I'm Wes.
Hello everyone and welcome back to West Side Story. Today's, we're recording in the day. Today's episode, not that it matters to you, you can listen whenever you want. Today's episode is shopping. So Ed, do you want to throw out a dick def to start off with?
Yeah. Shopping. Noun. The action or activity of buying goods from shops. Example, shopping is so exhausting, all those decisions. Another example, goods bought from shops, especially food and household goods. And the example is a bag of shopping.
Especially food and household goods?
Yeah.
What about trainers?
There's all sorts.
Come on.
Yeah.
There's been a move recently. People don't do the big shop anymore.
No.
The torture shop when you were a kid that used to feel like it went on for about 5 days.
You used to just chuck things in the trolley when no one was looking.
I did get away with that, I'd get hit. But yeah, everyone's doing little shops more.
Well, I feel like I've always done a little shop, and actually I've done the reverse because I realised how much money I was spending just picking up exactly what I wanted to eat every day.
Yeah.
Ooh. And actually if I started doing a big shop,
yeah,
I could stock up and then I'd have things in the cupboards to eat instead of having to pick up something takeout, like a expensive burrito.
I'm a big shopper by tradition. It's what I always used to do. But I prefer a little shop because you can kind of get what you want to eat on the day. Fresher ingredients.
That's true.
You go around a little market and stuff.
Yeah. Fresh stuff on the day.
But then you never end up buying that because you're like, I've got all that stuff at home already. Why am I being such a waste? Why am I buying this kale? When I've already got some boring iceberg lettuce at home to make a salad with, you know.
Well, did you know, actually, the UK, is a little fact for you straight out the gate, is one of the 4 countries in Europe that spends the least on shopping.
Really?
Yeah, so we spend an average of 10% of their household income on food.
On food shopping?
Yep.
Hmm.
So we're 3rd in the list. Switzerland's on there, Ireland's on there, and Austria.
They spend the least.
Yeah,
spends the most, do you know?
Well, yeah, I do actually. I've got that fact for you. Nigeria spends over half of their household income on food, around 40%.
Wow.
So one of the top.
Half,
yeah,
40.
So four of the top countries that spend the most are in Africa. And then there's in Asia as well, Kazakhstan, Philippines, Pakistan, Azerbaijan, and Guatemala. And Guatemala is the only South American country to appear in the list that spends 40.6% of its household income on food.
Yeah. It's to do with expensive food as well. So we always moan about how expensive food is in our country.
Yeah.
It's actually really cheap, even compared to America.
Yeah.
Our food's cheaper. Don't want to bring Brexit into it, but think on. Keeping the prices low. Should we do a little game?
Yeah.
This is like a real mini game, this.
Really. Are you doing
game.
A game?
I'm going to do a game.
Game 0.5.
0.5. This one I've named Top of the Shop.
Oh.
Top of the Shop. Top of the Shop. Right?
It's like blankety blank,
wasn't it? Top of the Shop.
Top of the Shop.
Right, so basically, I mean, it's not a long game. There's only 3 questions in it.
Okay.
But
right.
It's some surprising stuff that I found out.
All right.
Right, okay. So in the UK, what do you think are the top 3 bought fruits?
Banana.
Mm.
Yes.
Apple got to be in there.
Yes, but what's number 1? So that's, bananas are 3, apples are 2. What's number 1?
Pineapple.
No.
Strawberries.
No.
Papaya.
No.
What? Mango.
No.
Oh my god, grapes.
This is a
grapes.
Yes.
Grapes are number 1.
What?
So it showed, and this is by value, not by weight.
Yeah.
So this is the amount sold. But there was £604 million spent on grapes last year, and apparently it's because we're like busier lives and all that.
Yeah.
You want like a handy little pick out
snack.
Sweet,
yeah.
And it's lots of them are sweet.
Yeah,
is a grape a sweet? It can be.
It's nature's sweet.
It's nature's sweet, isn't it?
Yeah.
And it's from putting them in, like, you know, the little snack packs. That's really pushed up the sales as well.
And it's what you buy for someone in hospital, isn't it?
Yeah, grapes and Lucozade. Yeah. Yeah. It's weird. But yeah, by weight, it is bananas. But yeah, grapes number one. Grapes. That was a shocker. And the top vegetable.
Potatoes, vegetables.
I don't think they technically are. They're what they're called. There's a word for underground stuff, like ginger and that.
Roots.
Yeah, but it's got a different word.
Yeah, I don't know.
A tuba.
Tuba? That's an instrument. Tubas just remind me of Harold from Neighbours. Did you know?
I don't watch Neighbours.
It was years ago.
It's just on the grapes thing. They're very popular in Asia at the moment. There's like a trend for grapes, going back to the other thing. It's the muscat grape, I think, is it?
Oh, yeah, the seedless. Yeah, big, fat, juicy large ones. Grapes
are using it for everything. Mm. Real popular boom at the moment. Sorry, I digress.
The grape boom.
Yeah.
Vegetables.
Yeah, so top.
Carrots?
They're not in the top three.
No. Peas? They wouldn't be in my top three.
Not in the top three.
What? Peas?
Peas aren't in the top three.
I'm trying to think what my top... Mushrooms.
Are not in the top three.
Oh, my God.
Days.
Mushroom is number four.
Oh, knew it.
Carrot is number five.
Parsnip.
No.
No, that's a niche.
Sweet corn.
Yes, that is number two.
Yes!
I found all this shocking, man.
Leeks.
Yeah, I know.
Leeks are not in there.
I bet it's Brussels sprouts, because everyone just stockpiles cabbage. Christmas.
Not Brussels sprouts, but...
Kale.
I've got a fact for you about Brussels sprouts after we've done this.
Is cabbage on there?
Cabbage is not on there. Think of something that like...
Spinach.
No, that every like health food fanatic buys.
Lentils.
Avocado.
No. It's like a bit more boring. It looks like a tree.
Broccoli.
Broccoli is number one.
Oh, wow.
How is broccoli number one?
It's delicious.
And then in number three, it's tomato.
Yeah.
But like, I found the whole top 10 really shocking. So
I thought tomatoes were fruit.
No, yeah, technically. Hey, that puts mushroom in there, but that's fungi, isn't it? Yeah. So it's not veg. But who knows? But yeah, broccoli, sweet corn, tomato, mushroom, carrot, pea, Brussels sprouts is 7, cauliflower is 8, asparagus is 9, and green bean is 10. Now, I've got to say, it was done only on 2,000 people, so it's not the biggest spread ever.
Yeah,
and it was Diabetes UK doing that one. But I thought it was mad. Northwest number one is the Brussels sprout.
Weird.
Yeah, that is crazy.
Scotland's is broccoli. But I don't imagine the Scottish and broccoli together. And London really love a tomato, which is fine. London are the only ones doing anything sensible. And I hate to say that.
Wow.
Final one, top meat.
Bacon.
No.
Pork.
No.
Wait, no, technically the same, sorry. Lamb?
No.
Chicken breast.
What? Yeah, well, yeah, it's chicken.
Of course it is.
I thought your standard would be chicken, right?
Yeah.
I thought that'd be it. But it's only this year that white meat sales have come past red meat sales.
Oh.
So people are still living like bacon and like beef and that. It's mostly down to people using like mince and stuff in like lasagnas and things.
Yeah.
But I thought chicken would be number one for years.
Yeah, I did.
But apparently not. There you go. Top of the shop. Top of the shop.
Top of the shop. Woo! I like that game. Top of the shop.
So some shocking facts about our shopping that I did not expect.
Yeah.
No, I didn't expect that either.
Well, when we were researching it, I couldn't believe that 80% of the UK population drink tea. 80%.
Oh, I thought it'd be higher than that.
No, but 80%, that's massive. I knew it was popular, but...
Did you know that I've never had a cup of tea?
You've never had a cup of tea?
No. So I was given tea in a box.
We need to hire someone new for the
podcast. I know. Saka. I was given tea in my bottle when I was like a toddler.
Oh,
naturally.
Yeah.
Bottled tea.
So I've had a bottle of tea, like lukewarm. So I obviously liked it then. And I've tried someone else's cup of tea, but I've never had like my own cup of tea as an adult and finished it.
Oh. Is it like, what is it you don't like?
I think it's one of those things where, a bit like smoking, where I feel like I've come this far in life without it, so I probably don't need it.
See, I was never a massive tea drinker.
Yeah.
But I've been a heavy coffee drinker.
Yeah.
But then I've switched to more tea recently. Mm.
So I was the same with coffee, and then I started drinking it out of necessity because I was literally
necessity.
So tired. Coffee. it was when we were doing like crazy hours of rehearsals, and then in the evening we were doing stage combat classes, and I was like, I'm literally going to fall asleep, but I've got a sword in my hand. Like, I need something.
Otherwise, I'm going to
like actually hurt someone. So I started drinking, like, I think it was like vanilla lattes or something, you know, like, so loads of sugar and loads of milk, and slowly weaned myself onto coffee. And now I get the jitters if I don't have three by midday. Terrible.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's cool. I like tea for its variety.
Yeah.
Like Lapsang Souchong. Is it? Yeah. Is that the smoked one?
Yeah.
And then all the weird little fermented teas
I've had,
and stuff.
Like, yeah, chai.
Chai's good.
So, but like, you it's know, I mean, like, I've not had chai, like a PG tips in a tea bag.
Well, isn't it true that there's higher caffeine in tea?
Yeah.
They say that, right? They say that. And they say science says that.
Yeah.
I know my body. And unless it's changing somehow how you take on that caffeine, then I don't believe it. I'm sure that's a bit of, like, bro science, as you call it.
Maybe
do you ever
it's
have
like...
black coffee, though? Do you do black coffee?
Yeah.
Right.
It's only if it's really good coffee, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If it's crap coffee, there's no point.
Yeah.
And if it's freshly ground, I like it black.
You can always tell good coffee by just having a single espresso.
Well, this is what that's me. Well, double espresso for me.
Just have a sniff.
Yeah.
Right.
Double espresso and a fizzy water and a prawn sandwich.
Oh, look at you.
That's a perfect afternoon for me.
Yeah.
Snazzy snazz. Yeah. Right. Do you want to play another game? Do you want a game one? Or do you want to... Game one. Cool. So I was interested in the definition when it was very much talking about physical shops and going to shops. Mm. A lot of my research has been around online shopping and e-commerce. And a very, very famous site for this is eBay, where people can bid and it's like live auctions, but you can also do buy it now. Now, at any one time, there are 800 million listings on eBay. And this was from 3 years ago, so it might have even increased. But I've picked out some of the more bizarre listings, and I want to see if you guys can guess how much these items sold for. They are all in US dollars, just because of where I got the article from.
Okay.
But are you ready for game one?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Number one, a grilled cheese sandwich, which purportedly bore a portrait of the Virgin Mary, was sold in 2004. The Florida woman who made it 10 years earlier said it had never gone mouldy. How much did it sell for on eBay?
Just wait, they bought a picture with a grilled sandwich.
No. So someone grilled a cheese toasty.
Right.
And the way the bread, like...
Oh, browned, like the Jesus face.
Yeah. It looked like the Virgin Mary, but this woman had made it 10 years earlier and was now selling it on eBay. This was in 2004. How much did it sell for?
I don't know how much sugar is in that bread. I'm going to say... Oh, it's all going to be ridiculous.
Well,
it's going to be ridiculous.
It's going to be way more than it ever should be.
Yeah. I'll go for like $800.
There's a lot of people. If that got on the news, people would bid crazy for
it. Well, I think it was in the news. I'd heard of it.
Had you?
Mm.
I reckon $3,000.
$28,000.
Holy shit.
What?
Yep. All right, we can turn...
What idiot?
I know.
What fucking idiot would do that?
I mean,
just you could buy an actual painting for that.
That is ridiculous.
You could.
Oh,
it is
crazy.
I
wonder if they ate it.
Well, we'll get to that a little bit later on, because the same buyer has bought a few other things.
Oh, cool.
Okay. Number two, clippings of Justin Bieber's hair.
Mm.
Oh.
So he'd gifted his hair to Ellen DeGeneres, who decided to put them up for auction, and the proceeds then went to an animal rescue charity.
Yeah.
This was 2011. How much did his hair sell for on eBay?
Who's this DeGeneres person?
Ellen DeGeneres.
Who's that?
She's an American chat show host, but she also voices Dory in Finding Nemo and Finding Dory.
Oh.
Yeah, she was a stand-up comedian for a while. Does other stuff.
Okay.
But she's...
very famous.
Yeah, she's very famous for her show, and like a lot of people are like, oh my God, he was on Ellen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, she's the one that's got like...
short blonde hair?
Yes.
Blue eyes?
I do know her. Oh, she's really annoying. I'm going to say, because she's a celebrity selling them, it's going to be ridiculous.
Mm.
Yeah.
£200,000.
Okay.
Well, dollars.
Dollars.
I only think about
$1,500. $40,668. I know.
For clippings,
not even a full head.
Mate, if I got famous, I'd just start selling bits of my body off.
Would you?
I'd farm myself. I'd have harvest.
What would you do with that, though? Like,
sleep with it at night? I don't know.
Lick it.
Turn it
super
into
fans,
clothes.
Isn't it? Yeah.
Could treat it like mince it and do it like truffle and food.
Oh.
Bit of Justin Bieber in you.
Disgusting.
Mm.
Right. Number three. advertising space on a man's forehead.
Oh, that's top. See, that's worth paying for, isn't it?
So it was in the form of a temporary tattoo, and this was in 2005. And I can tell you what it was used for. It was a company called Snorestop. They paid this guy. They were the winning bidder. And they advertised its snoring remedy with a temporary tat on his fod.
So how much tattoo temporary?
Yes, it was temporary.
Which makes it a bit less fun. But they're probably more moral. I like that. All right, 80K.
I reckon 100.
$37,375.
Still a lot.
Amazing money.
The guy tattooing his head got less than Justin Bieber's
jokes.
Yeah. Oh my days.
I wonder if the sales went up.
You'd hope so, wouldn't you?
Yeah. It's a good stunt.
Yeah. Okay, number four. A suit of armour for a guinea pig.
Oh god, that's good. That's worth buying.
This was in 2013, and the creator promised that the tiny handmade suit and matching helmet would keep a guinea pig protected and secure in all situations.
Oh my god, I love that. I had two guinea pigs once, and then we made them hang out with the next door's guinea pigs, and they've had two very nice meetings. On number three, our two guinea pigs killed the other two guinea pigs. So they could have done with some armour.
They could have done with some armour.
Needed some armour.
Two suits.
I like giants, though.
I didn't know guinea pigs killed one another. Is that a thing?
I think it's because they never hung out, but then it was R2 meeting those two.
Like territory.
Territory, yeah. Mm. And ours were like massive, man. They were like little hippos. Huge. I don't know what we fed them. So yeah, a suit of armour to save a guinea pig. Yeah. What's a guinea pig's life worth?
Well,
in a social situation with other guinea pigs.
Yeah.
48K.
Okay.
$7,000.
It was only $1,150.
Oh, I'd pay that.
It's quite a lot, though, isn't it? Like, you could probably get a human one for that.
You can't put a price on life, can you?
Sorry.
Save the guinea pigs.
All right. Next one. A Dorito shaped like the Pope's hat.
I've heard this one.
So this was actually bought by the same people who bought the Virgin Mary grilled cheese. They're an online casino.
Nice.
So it's going to be ludicrously high again.
Yeah.
How much was the grilled cheese again?
Grilled cheese was 28K, and that was a year earlier.
All right. And they probably wanted to get another advertising slot in, so they would have pushed it a bit higher. 34K.
45.
Actually, it's $1,209.
They realised, they clearly
bankrupted themselves buying
grilled cheese.
Yeah. Right, number six. The meaning of life was put on eBay in the year 2000. The seller described it as, "I've discovered the reason for our existence and will be happy to share this information with the highest bidder." Eight people were curious enough to place bids, but what was the winning bid?
$4.
$3.26. That's great. All right, and the final one is Britney Spears' alleged pregnancy test, which was acquired by a radio station in 2005. Apparently, they found it in her garbage outside her home.
That is so grim.
And the buyer, once again, was goldenpalace.com, the online casino.
Golden Palace.
Oh my God, they are not a sponsor, by the way.
No.
Oh my god.
Well, maybe they should be. They're clearly rolling in it.
Sponsor anything.
Britney's pissy stick.
Yep.
Oh, how much would you pay to taste Britney's minerals?
Oh, no.
Four. Oh, it's going to be more because it's celebrities. Grotesque. $22K.
I'm going to say that's like $100,000 or something.
Oh my God, no. It was $5,001. There you go. That's it. So what's the highest amount you guys... Do you ever bid? Do you ever use eBay?
I always shop Buy It Now.
You always do Buy It Now. You're not a bidder. I quite like the thrill of the bid.
Yeah, I've done it before. I did it for some Beanie Babies.
Go on.
Zoe likes collecting Beanie Babies, so when I first got with her, I got her a selection of Beanie Babies I knew she wouldn't have based on what she definitely would not like in a Beanie Baby.
Oh my god, so you got really bad ones.
I got like a weird dragon, like multicolored, yeah, they're all gross, but it was fun. But yeah, I don't trust eBay. I don't like it as much.
I mean, I'm learning. The other thing that you'll see if you... actually, it's not that much research, but if you do a bit of research into online shopping and what you buy on eBay, it's just how much items are not like their description.
Yeah.
And the biggest takeaway from that I got was to definitely look at the measurements. So many people have bought dresses, shoes, furniture, and when it's arrived, it's for a doll.
Yeah, I've seen or the a furniture doll's house. One. So, like, it's people... a proper scam, that.
Yeah. So people have bought full-on, like, TV cabinets, but they're, like... smaller than the size of your hand because they're actually for like a doll's house. Or people have bought like really cool boots for like an outfit or something and they're for a Barbie. So and my favourite one I think was this big Persian rug. It was beautiful and it turned out it was a mouse mat. It's the size of a mouse mat, so always check the dimensions,
guys. I love how people like to rip each other off. It's so fun.
It is fun.
Yeah. Oh, I had a scare recently.
Yeah.
Shopping at Amazon, got this board game,
right.
Pandemic Legacy.
Right.
It's like a board game, but when you play it, it changes each time.
Mm.
And they're very excited, very geeky, only for board game enthusiasts. But yeah, £60 it was. It's quite expensive. Mm. Anyway, immediately after I bought it, read the thread underneath, even the reviews were good. All the last five or six were about fakes coming out. Shout myself. I had to check so much when I got back. Like when it got delivered, I spent about 2 hours going over everything. Everything was in there.
Do they have like ways of checking what bits are fake in the kit?
I've done so much Reddit searching. Like, I've raided Reddit for it, and it was just bits like the quality of the pieces and stuff. But
if it still like practically works though, and you can still play the game.
Well, the problem with this game, right, is as you play it, you unlock stuff, and then you open these boxes that change the game completely. Right. So you can't go and look through them. And one of the things that was happening is they bothered to do all the beginning bit, but then towards the end, they just not printed any of the pieces. And but the thing is, you can never do, because the game's different every time, you can't ever play it twice even if you bought a new one. You can't do it properly, so it ruins it for you, because you'll never be able to finish the game.
Oh my God, halfway
through. Tragic, eh? Yeah. Tragic.
Awful.
So yeah, any provlars around, anything?
I've got a brief history of money.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah, do it.
So there are lots of things that before we had money as we know it, which is still continuing to develop with like mobile payments and cryptocurrencies, but before actual money as we know it as coins and notes and bank accounts, people would use cows, gold, rice, other precious metals, salt, tea leaves, pepper, blood, bat poo, all kind of things as currencies. But before all of that, and that's been around for about 3,000 years, people pretty much just bartered for things. So it was all about a direct trades of goods and service. So if you do this, I'll give you this for it and I get this. So it's a transaction. So for example, I'll give you this stone axe if you help me come and kill this mammoth. But those kind of arrangements took quite a lot of time. So, you know, people might not really think that's a fair trade. You might have to negotiate your terms and like find a way to come to a deal.
I imagine I've been incredible at this period.
What do you reckon?
I'm really good at bargaining and getting free stuff. Are you? It's my thing.
Okay, I want to hear more about that in a second. So one of the great achievements of money is that it basically cut out all that time, so business could happen a lot faster, whether it was building a big monument or killing a mammoth.
Yeah.
So slowly, a currency started to appear, which was about trading things like animal skins, salt, and weapons, and all those things that I've listed earlier. And even though the value of those things were negotiable, they kind of people had.
Exactly.
Sometime around 1100 BC, the Chinese moved from using actual tools and weapons to trade to using miniature replicas of them.
Oh, that's cute.
Yeah, which were cast in bronze. So you carry around these little axes and swords and things in your pocket. But then people realised, ow, I don't want to keep digging into my pocket and stabbing myself. So gradually, these tiny little daggers and spades became more circular and round, which is where coins started to come from. And they were the first country, China, to use recognisable coins, but the first minted coins were actually created in what's now Western Turkey and was then called Lydia. So this is around 600 BC. The coins were made from a mixture of silver and gold that naturally occurs, which is called electrum, and they were stamped with pictures. So you might buy a clay jar for two owls and a snake. which should be what is on your little coin. Yeah. And just as it looked like that Lydia was the leader in this currency, China decided to start using paper money.
Whee!
Yeah. And they were basically, instead of carrying around all these coins, they were almost like an IOU and a face value. That,
yeah.
And then that evolved, and then you could take a paper note to your bank and trade it out for the coins. Right. The difference was that these were issued by like private institutions rather than the government, which they are today. And over time, that just became a much quicker and better way to do business. People could drive up other countries' trade and values, and that's where you start getting an international stock market, because these IOUs were being used for international trade.
Right.
And then it's evolved into what we know today.
That's interesting.
Yeah. I hope all that's true. I just read it on one website.
Yeah. I wish they'd bring a bit of bargaining back.
Well, that's what I wanted to ask you guys. Yeah, if you didn't have money, what kind of thing would you be, like, trading for? This is what I want to hear about your bartering.
So we used to have, like, one of my classics was we used to have a little cafe where I worked. And they did, like, sandwiches, like, vegetarian sandwiches and stuff. And they were, like, £3.54 each.
Right.
So I got a deal with her after a bit of charming and chatting. I was like, how about I just take your bin out and you make me a sandwich? And they'd ask for all the extras on it. And then I used to just take a bin out, come up with a massive sandwich. Perfect. Every time. I'm always doing stuff
there you
like
go
that.
Exchange of goods and services.
Yeah.
It's also really good around foodies as well, so if you're like quite into cooking, there's always like a little food exchange going on.
But it's just like a swap shop, isn't it? Yeah. Quite like the idea that we just swap things now instead of
That was always big at school, the swap shop.
Yeah. What did
trading
you do at
stuff
school?
Off posters, pogs shoelaces.
Really?
Yeah. Shoelaces?
Yeah. Do you ever remember Kickers?
Yeah. They're back.
Oh, I don't remember.
Are they still around?
What are Kickers? Back.
They're a make of shoe.
They were the expensive school shoes that I was never allowed and always wanted.
Yeah. They're pretty ugly if you look at them now, but at the time they were well popular. But the laces used to... Like, they weren't very well made, really. No disrespect to Kickers. No, I don't think you're listening, but...
is it like a... Is the logo kind of almost a little bit bubbly and it has like a yellow bit on the back?
It's got like a red tab and a green tab.
It's red and green, yeah.
I remember these now.
Yeah, I think it was probably less that they weren't very well made. It was just how much you trashed them at school. But the laces always used to snap.
You'd trade laces?
Yeah,
and what would you
laces.
Give someone for an
And then
for
trainers
laces?
As well. Trade laces from trainers. Dead exciting in my school. Yeah. We've already established welly wanging was an interest at school.
I know, yeah.
No, very shoe-based. I can see your obsession with shoes now.
Yeah, all makes sense.
I think our school was like trading cigarettes and eyeliner. It's that kind of school.
Wow, the only thing I ever traded was one Pokemon card. I got a lot of Japanese Pokemon cards thinking they were cool. And then I realised they're not that good. And I got rid of one of my rarest Pokemon cards.
Yeah.
Got done there. That's why it changed my life after. I was like, I'm never going to lose out on a deal again. Yeah. Talking about currencies and stuff.
Yeah.
Right. So, if you were to go online and Google and write, should I buy?
Oh, God.
Right. I thought it'd put something exciting up. It does not, so don't get excited, anyone. So, the first one is, should I buy a diesel? But then after it is, should I buy Bitcoin? Should I buy Ripple? Should I buy Litecoin? Should I buy Ethereum?
Yeah. All digital currency.
So are people actually really invested in digital currency now?
Yeah.
And are they idiots for doing it?
I don't think we can say. There are appeals, like there's low transaction fees, so you're not having to pay a bank their interest fees and
gets
bank
rid
accounts
of the
and things. Yeah, exactly. And it's not owned by a government, it's not controlled by
But Bitcoin Bitcoin is kind of controlled by a hierarchy though. Because do you know how Bitcoin's made? So you basically get loads of computers that kind of run, and they end up making these things that they call blocks.
Yes.
And
are they physical things?
No, well, they're not. They're like data blocks.
Right.
But
isn't this blockchain?
Kind of, yeah. But they do it on Bitcoin where you kind of, instead of like blockchaining out, it's like a raffle.
Right.
So the amount of power you put into it, you have a higher chance of getting that Bitcoin at the end of it once it's made. So there's places in like, I think China's one of the big ones, where they've got entire buildings of computers, like skyscrapers, and computers just for mining Bitcoin.
Whoa.
And so your chances of sitting at home and actually doing the mining side rather than the trading side is so small, it's not even worth doing. I mean, if you do get lucky and get one, then that's mad, but your chances are like...
So you're doing it to get one Bitcoin?
Yeah, so it's basically like a Bitcoin raffle. So you spend loads of time putting your computer's energy and power into it.
So you might as well just do the lottery.
Yeah, kind of, yeah. And then you might, because you can still trade in Bitcoin, obviously, but you can't do the beginning bit, which is mining, which was the exciting bit that loads of people made money off.
Weird.
It's very strange.
There's loads of potential. Yeah. Digital currency.
But I think that's
it's just very unpredictable. Yeah. That is the problem at the moment.
I think that's why everyone's Googling it, aren't they? Yeah. Trying to work out.
Trying to work out if they can make
And also because people don't... Well, I don't know. Maybe it is just me, but I assume that most people don't really know what it is and how it works, so that's why they're researching. Yeah.
And how often do people talk to you about wanting to buy a diesel car? Just because. In the second one, right, so I thought, maybe it's a phrase that I'm doing. So then I put, should I buy a, right? Yeah. And the first one is, should I buy a diesel car? Like, should I buy a diesel? Like, everyone's obsessed with diesels.
Oh, God, don't know.
Amongst other ones in there that I didn't think it would be there, a Nintendo Switch. There's no mention of a PlayStation or an Xbox, but a Nintendo Switch. MacBook, Chromebook, 4K TV and Fitbit. There you go.
There's a lot of technology, isn't it? So I guess it's people going, should I buy this now or should I wait for the next thing to come out? Like,
but it is.
They have an expiry, really, don't they?
It is. I mean, it sounds obvious, but it's all the stuff that's not obvious. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, like, all of the things that are mentioned in that are things that aren't talked about constantly.
Big investment pieces as well.
Yeah. I thought, should I buy an electric car would be on there? Or a hybrid?
They've got lots of car stuff. Like the second one's a Cat D car, and the fourth one's a Cat C car.
I don't know what that means.
So they're like, I have to look it up. So a Category D car is like a really messed up car that.
Oh, Category D.
Yeah, so it's basically like a car that's been smashed up, or like it's failed its insurance. Should I buy it? It's like, no, you dickhead. why even ask the internet? And obviously there's a house on there. But another weird one is, should I buy a new car? Like, how does Google know what car you've got already?
It's weird.
To give you that decision, why are you just asking, should I get a new car?
Are people not using it to like then find an article or a flowchart to like help you?
Flowcharts? Like, you have the internet to find a flowchart to solve your woes.
Well, yeah, or what a
really need right now is a lovely flowchart.
I love a flowchart. Like,
follow. Two truths, one lie?
Yeah, let's do it.
Yeah.
Two truths, one lie.
Okie dokie, two truths, one lie. Are you ready?
Ready. Yeah.
As usual, just in case there's anyone new, names on the tin, two truths, there's one lie, three statements. Okay, Ford Mustang's a legal tender in Somalia.
Okay.
Gary Dahl became a millionaire in 6 months selling sand breeding kits. And number three, putting on headphones whilst you shop will save you money.
Okay, I'm going to start with number three. I think that is true because I was doing quite a bit of research into the psychology of shopping and neuromarketing.
Mm.
And it's true that the music that they play in shops like elevates your heartbeat and then gets your adrenaline pumping and then you're more likely to buy things and it releases endorphins and all that kind of stuff. So I reckon that's probably true, that if you put your headphones in and put some whale noises on or something nice and chill...
Mm.
You can just focus, get in, get out, buy the things that you need to buy. So I think that's true. What was...
Sand breeding kit.
Sand breeding?
Yeah.
What, to make more sand?
You can guess so.
Why do you need more sand? There's more sand than... There's like... isn't there something bonkers like 1 billion grains of sand for every star in the galaxy? Or is it every star... Anyway, there's shitloads of sand. Why do you need more sand? I don't understand.
Well, they made 1 million off it in 6 months. So
no, I don't think
he
did.
Maybe there's a need.
I don't think he did. Yeah. Sand breeding. I just don't understand. And Ford Mustang being legal tender. Probably. I reckon number two is a lie.
You think number two?
Yeah.
I was going to say number two is a lie.
Were you? Go on, tell me why.
I've heard the theory about the psychology of wearing your headphones.
Mm.
Number one is just enough where I think that could be a possibility. Number two sounds a bit bonkers.
Sand breeding.
It sounds really
I think
bonkers.
If I... Are you allowed to tell us a little bit more what sand breeding is?
Not really, no. I mean, it'll make sense. It'll make sense when I give you all this.
Go on then, what's the... Go on,
let's go for it.
Right, number three, putting on headphones whilst you shop will save you money. It's true, but funnily enough, it's for the complete opposite of what you said.
Oh, really?
So they play slower-paced music.
Oh, I guess supermarkets. In supermarkets,
because it slows how fast you walk, so you have more chance to look at more products.
I'm thinking of being in, like in a high street store. Like, sometimes they've got DJs in there now, like literally pumping tunes to make you buy clothes. Buy clothes.
But if you're on, like, a mass shop, like a supermarket one.
The family shop.
Yeah, they slow it down, so they take more time.
That's true.
They've got loads of really great things in supermarkets. So, like, when I used to work at Sainsbury's, I used to be on the chicken counter.
Yeah.
And we'd do, like, pizzas and stuff on there. And if it got to, like, 5 o'clock or a time when lots of customers are going to come in, we used to put in a garlic bread, a sacrificial garlic bread that would make the whole shop smell of garlic bread.
Ooh.
And then it'd make people want to buy more because they loved the smell of it. And then we used to just give it out as free tasters, but the only reason we did it was to get the smell.
Oh my God. Yeah, it is sly. There's a thing I read as well about putting fruit and veg at the entrance to a supermarket. Mm. Now, rationally, you know that's the thing you should put in the trolley last because it's going to get squished.
Mm, yeah.
But they put it there because you're making the healthy, conscious choices first, and then you don't feel so guilty when you get to all the, like, naughty snack foods.
For a sense overload as well, because there's so many colours and stuff. I guess you're all very excited and looking everywhere. And they make aisles as wide as they can because then it stays in your peripheral, so you see more stuff.
Yeah.
And then you come in labels more. Less spaces at checkouts you started to do as well. So have you noticed when you were a kid, you used to be able to easily, like, your mum would, whatever, you know, you could dump stuff out.
Yeah.
And have you noticed it's harder now?
Yeah, because you fill it with
stuff. So they basically make it smaller so you can't dump stuff. So that whole, it's too awkward to throw it away or say you don't want it, because you have to say it to the checkout person, so you end up buying your whole shop.
True.
One interesting thing, though, like, this is a myth. So, you know, when they say they move items, like, supermarkets might move items that you need, like bread and stuff, but it actually scientifically makes you buy less because people are aware of it, they get annoyed, and they end up just going in for what they want. They did an experiment in, like, a little petrol station shop once where they put all the sandwiches and stuff that people mostly go in at the back, and they found out people would buy less than if they did anyway.
Yeah, because it's not there for them.
People were pissed off.
Did you know that the average large supermarket has about 40,000 products? And say you're buying 40 products in a 30-minute shopping trip, that means that you need to reject 20 products per second, and that there's no way that you can do that consciously. It would literally take you days. So that's why there's so much money put into branding and marketing and packaging so that you...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And another thing, right? So, you know, when people work at supermarkets and they're like, it's a low-skill job, it's not like shelf stacking. Imagine knowing where all those things are to put on shelves. And on top of that, you've got to be smiley and do customer service if a customer taps you on the shoulder at the same time.
Yeah.
I think it was quite a skilled job at the time. Well, to do it well, this is why loads of people think supermarket people are grumpy, because they are, because they're not good at the job, because it's actually quite a hard job to do. Right. Ford Mustang's a legal tender in Somalia. It's true. But they are coins. So they've got, like, guitars, motorcycles, and wild animal coins that are all coloured
in. Like having your owls and your snakes.
Yeah, and they're all worth $1 each. And they're saying it could have been an attempt to westernise the country.
Okay.
I don't know, but so they don't often use them to spend, but they are legal tender. And it's worth looking at them online. They're pretty cool.
That's cool. So instead of having the Queen's head, we could have cars.
Like, yeah, and they're actually shaped, like, fully shaped, like
diesel all cars. These,
yeah. They're really cool.
Category D diesels. That's what everyone wants.
I think it was in 2007 they came out. So I don't know what's going on now with everything else in Somalia, but who knows? At least he's got fancy coins. All right, Gary Dahl became a millionaire in 6 months selling sand breeding kits. Is a lie. However, Gary Dahl did become a millionaire in 6 months by selling, and you might have heard about this, the Pet Rock.
I've heard of the Pet Rock, yeah.
Pet Rock?
Literally a rock that you treat like a pet.
Yeah. So
that's it.
Gary was he was an American copywriter, creative director, and he worked in advertising.
Yeah.
And one Christmas, right, he was sat in a bar and he was listening to his mates complain about the pets. And he was like, well, the perfect pet would be a pet rock, because you don't have to, like, clean up after it or anything, you just have a pet rock. Anyway, so we made this kind of, like, elaborate box and stuff where it said things like, oh, don't touch the rock and stuff. Literally was getting rocks from this valley with a bit smoother, so, you know, they look okay on the eye.
Yeah.
And started selling them. And he made $1 million in 6 months. That it was like a proper crazy Christmas hit. I think it was 1975. So the fad only lasted half a year, but he became a millionaire in that time. Just off rocks in boxes. That's
a good idea.
Now, what I was saying came in because he then tried to follow it up a bit later So we wanted to try a few more ones. So one of he did was the sand breeding kits.
He did do that.
Yeah.
Oh,
so it hit off a bit. It didn't like make a loss on it, but it wasn't as successful. And it's just a big jokey box about saying, here is female sand, here is male sand. And his other one was red China dirt. And you know, because it was obviously there's the Cold War and stuff kicking around at that time. The idea was you had bits of dirt and you're basically paying to smuggle China into the country one bit at a time, stealing their soil.
Oh,
but yeah, nothing was as successful as the pet rock. The pet rock. Imagine making a million off rocks in boxes.
Amazing.
That was literally a great exercise in packaging.
That is.
Anyway, so well done for getting it right. And I kind of know I did kind of make that one obvious, but I needed to talk about the pet rock.
Yeah, you did. That was good.
There you go.
Yeah. Wow.
Awesome. Makes me think of Tamagotchis.
Oh, they were so good.
They're still
around.
I know, I kind of want one.
They've had
one
for you. They've had a resurgence.
They're really expensive. Yeah. Get a bidding on eBay. They're like, I thought they'd be about fiver.
Yeah.
I think they're like 20, 30 quid.
Yeah, yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Do they do anything different these days?
You can probably just get a Tamagotchi app for your phone, can't you?
Yeah.
I don't want that. I want one on a key ring like I used to have.
Yeah.
I had a choice of animals on mine.
Yeah.
Got a penguin. I think mine was only like a fiver though, probably less.
Yeah.
I got mine from this weird little toy shop we had in Chorley. So
yeah, mine was off a market.
Yeah. Knock off Tamagotchi.
Yeah. Tamagotchi.
Yeah, Tamagotchi.
Tamagotchi.
Right, speaking of things that are not what you asked for, here's another little game. And this is to do with, so I was talking about doing an online shop now.
Yes.
As my big shop, rather than having to just pop to the little local supermarket, which is all we have.
Which, can I say, is amazing. I'm an online shopper now.
Anyway, what I don't do when I'm online shopping is tick the substitutes box. I don't know if you do this, but basically it is a risk. If they don't have the item in that you've ordered, they'll replace it, they'll substitute it with something. Now, it must be done by some kind of algorithmic robot and not a human, because the things that get replaced are ridiculous, which is why I don't press it. So a really famous one was someone wanted some loose bread rolls is what they ordered, and they got a loose octopus. Now, I don't know if you've heard of this story, but I absolutely love it. If you've got a spare 10 minutes, just Google it. It's brilliant, because the person then tweeted, and then there was like this brilliant like tweet conversation going on between them, and I think it was a Tesco rep. Loads of under the sea jokes. It was great. So anyway, what I want you guys to do is see if you can guess what item these products were substituted for.
Okay,
so there are only 10. Someone ordered cat food. What did they get instead?
Dead cat.
Oh my god.
Butcher special.
No, it's something they actually sell. Jesus.
Cat litter.
Budgie food.
Dog food. Yeah, and they tweeted this picture of their like cat looking absolutely furious. I know. Okay, number two. Someone ordered baby wipes. What did they get instead?
Sandpaper.
Nappies.
Bell's whiskey.
Nice.
Which is why I'm saying it must be some kind of robot doing it, because that's obviously picked up the BW and gone Bell's whiskey, and obviously it costs like five times as much.
It can be people.
Yeah.
It can be people pissed off though as well. Like, because I know when I was at Sainsbury's, I know people used to go around and pick it themselves. So it wasn't at a factory.
Yeah.
Sometimes they do it from stores. But if you're really fucked off, you know, you'll just give people terrible shit, wouldn't you?
You can give it back to the delivery person and not get charged. Anyway, number three. Someone ordered a DVD of Drive, the film starring Ryan Gosling. What did they receive instead?
It's got to be the Learning to Drive DVD thing.
Okay, yeah.
A DVD of Drive. I don't know, a box of chocolates?
It was a DVD of Fast and Furious. So, same kind of thing, but the person was
opposite end of
culture. Yeah, okay. Number four, someone ordered cleaning cloths. And the suggested replacement item was...
cleaning cloths. Condoms.
Don't know.
A hammer.
What?
I don't know. That one must have been something that was around, like a household item that was a similar price, I guess. I don't know how it works. Okay. They ordered rosemary and they got
Oh God, don't even tell me about giving me different herbs. That would piss me off so bad. Spinach.
Wine.
Coriander. Not the same thing.
It's quite far off.
Not the same thing. Okay, number six. They ordered women's deodorant and they got...
Men's moisturiser.
Go on.
Frozen sausage casserole.
What?
I don't know.
That's where is this coming from?
I don't know. These are all ones that people have like submitted online that they've said they've got. Okay. Someone ordered beef mince and they got...
Halal lamb trotters.
Mint.
Yeah, extra strong mint.
No!
Yeah. Someone ordered toilet paper and they got...
Well, it must be kitchen roll, right?
Don't know, go on.
Nappies.
Oh, whoa. I said nappies before.
Yeah, same area, I guess.
Yeah.
Someone ordered mayonnaise and they got...
coconut oil.
Moisturiser.
Window cleaner.
What?
How? I know. And last one, and I like this one, I'd accept this replacement. Someone ordered apple juice and they got...
Orange juice. Oh, apple cider.
So I was going to say cider.
Not quite cider, it was a bottle of wine. Cider would make way more sense, but yeah. Wine. There you go.
Oh God.
Replacements.
I had two tragic ones with... If I'm dissing a supermarket, I'm not going to say the name. But you can guess it. It's the one that everyone shops at, but no one really likes that much.
Yeah, I think that's where most of these were from.
Yeah. And they did me twice. Once was I was doing a dinner party. I needed fresh mussels to do, like, I was doing, like, a mussels in kind of cream starter. Yeah. They gave me, like, vinegared mussels and cockles in a mixed jar. I was like, this is not going to work.
No.
I tried it. It did not work.
Gross.
And the other one that was really bad is I had a Christmas meal that I was doing, but I do it quite a bit before Christmas. It's like my annual thing.
Yeah.
And they just didn't turn up to drop it off, and I had to prep the night before. So I had to ring them up, cancel the shop, and run down like really early the next day.
Shit.
And then I was like, yeah, that was gross. Oh no, I didn't go the next day. I went that night because it was when it was still 24 hours and I was prepping. I had work the next day. I was prepping till 4 in the morning.
Oh my God, that's the one. Gross. See, this is why there is an argument for shopping in person rather than online shopping, isn't there?
Yeah.
You definitely get what you want. Like, I don't think I'd order the fresh stuff for the online shopping because I want to pick my own apple and Brussels sprout or whatever it was.
But you can't shop properly anymore.
Do you know
what I mean? I've never in my lifetime been able to shop how I want to shop, which is... Lots of colours everywhere, smelling it, that barter with the trader guy.
That's just a market. They need to go to like a market in Sardinia or something.
Well, no, you can get it in like UK markets, but we're in bloody like Cornwall and stuff. We don't have anyone.
You start, right?
And the other thing about markets is they're meant to be cheaper or better quality produce for what you get.
Yeah.
But quite often, like the markets you get, you know, when they have farmers markets and come to the city, it's just people chatting bollocks. Like, they've basically gone to the supermarket. They might as well have gone to the supermarket, got onions and sold them for 3 times the price. I've tried side-by-side ones. I got annoyed at them. And you can't smell the freshness on them. Because it's not like it's someone that actually has a farm that has then gone, here are the tomatoes I picked today and brought them to market, like a farmer's market should be. It's some knobhead that's like, does whatever job in the day, graphic designer, and decides they're going to buy stuff and then do a market on a Sunday. It's not right. I don't want to go, like, if I went around the supermarket smelling all the mangoes, you know. And it does work, like, especially grapefruit. You can smell quality grapefruit when it's out there.
Wes is doing an impression of smelling something every time he says that. Yeah. We need to get it on film.
I think I spend more if I shop online, though, for some reason, because the money doesn't feel as real.
It's not real.
Yeah.
Well, that's why I like paying with your phone and stuff. That little
dangerous.
Beep. Yeah. I know this isn't technically shopping, it's gifting, but it's just a really funny story. So they did a poll on Reddit for the craziest gifts that they've been given. One of the responses on there was, 1 year, a girl I'd been dating for a few years gave me a plaster cast of her foot.
Right.
I'm not even a foot guy, this is what he wrote. I tried my best to appreciate it, but it mostly just weirded me out. She painted it in this dull grey colour. It looked like a dead zombie foot. And it was way, way larger than I thought her feet really were.
What was it for? Like an ornament?
It's got gifted it.
Yeah, amazing. To be fair, what would you do with a big grey foot?
Oh,
maybe it's a doorstop.
Yeah.
Do you guys ever get the thing? Right, so you know I don't shop very often.
I shop every day.
Do you?
Because
well, most of my shopping's done at a bar. So I don't know.
That's shopping. Well, so I go, spending money and shopping.
Yeah. But in terms of actual buying stuff that's going to stay around, I don't do very often. But I have like months when I go nuts, like this month with the board games and like five different cookery books.
Yeah.
Like, do you guys do the madness as well, or is it quite steady? Am I ill?
No, I do both. I do.
That's even worse.
I know. I try and be really good. So like, it was Lent recently, and I tried to give up unnecessary spending for Lent, thinking that by Easter I'd be rich, and it just didn't work. I just can't do it. But I do Jane's thing where it's like I just buy lots, but then I take most of it back. So then you get like the rush of endorphins from the shopping and the buying experience.
Yeah.
And then you get the little halo when you send it back and get your money back.
Yeah. Just to say, Jane's thing is not like...
You're basically turning shops into thrift shops one at a time. Yeah. Who is this Jane?
Yeah, just to say, when you know Nat says Jane's thing...
I know, but they don't know Jane.
It's not Jane's like a famous theory or something. It's one of Nad's friends.
Aw, wonderful.
Not that
Jane
has got... Not that she isn't a great philosopher.
She'll
or
be
theorist
listening to this
or,
as well. She's a fan.
Do you get a rush off buying stuff? I don't get a rush.
Yeah, definitely.
I get just a tinge of guilt, I think. Every time I buy anything.
Yeah.
I'm always like, then I kind of enjoy it a bit.
Depends what it is. I'm trying to be good and do the test. So, like, if it's clothes, I say, will I wear this 30 times? And if not, it needs to go back. But I also just sit on things for a while. I've got a jumper I bought a week ago and I've not worn it yet. I'm just waiting to see how I feel.
It's been nearly a year since I last bought clothes.
No.
I only buy, like, yearly, two yearly. But Zoe's actually ruined it because last week... Because I started at the gym, she bought me some stuff.
No, you do need certain clothes.
She bought me a couple of gym things.
Yeah. I just like being in shops, I think. I'm one of those people who wants to look at every single thing in the shop.
Yeah.
My friends, like, we sometimes go shopping on a lunchtime. Terrible idea. So we just encourage each other to buy things. But they're always laughing at me because I'm, like, just looking at every single thing.
Every shelf individually.
Well, like, you know, when you
queue. How do you do a supermarket with how many choices?
That's why... Online shopping is good, maybe. But you know when you're like queuing up and they've got the, I don't know what they call them, but you know the buyers that you do at this, like right at the checkout point.
Yeah.
All the little things that don't cost that much. I just look at every single thing. It's terrible.
But you're well annoyed to shop with. Yeah.
Well, my mum and dad say a secret to a marriage is never shop together.
Yeah. Well, speaking of obsession with buying things, Marmite. Right.
Yeah.
Marmite. Did you know how popular Marmite is in the UK? I did
Surely
not know
it's 50%
this.
Love or hate.
It's huge. So in Britain, 27 bottles. Is it a bottle?
A jar.
Of Marmite are bought every minute.
No.
27 a minute. Yeah. And it was first sold in 1902, and it's become a quintessential British condiment. And some of you may remember the Jubilee, Diamond Jubilee of the Queen in 2012, where they renamed Marmite to Marmite.
No,
yeah,
I don't
27,
remember that.
27 units, or bottles or jars, are sold every minute in the UK.
Wow. Whoa, massive. I don't think I've ever bought a jar of
it's
Marmite.
It's got a seal of approval, hasn't it? A royal seal, Marmite. Doesn't it?
Yeah.
I was doing like a little bit of research into royal seals. I was trying to make a game out of it and then I realised it's really fucking boring. But one of them, like, I was going through this whole list and they got a website basically with all the seals on.
Yeah.
And there's three different seals you can have. You can have the Queen, you can have the Duke of Edinburgh, and the Prince of Wales.
Yeah.
And some of them have got them together and some of them don't. But, like, one of them's just like, it's like, so it's basically anyone that they've used a lot.
Yeah.
I think they've got to use them for like 10 years or something. They've got to use them for a substantial amount of time and then they can give them the royal warrant.
Right.
But, like, some stuff was, like, the wastewater, so it must be someone that comes and, like, takes all the sewage out from under Buckingham Palace. It's got a royal seal.
Oh, my God.
And it was, like, refuge people. It was, like, dry cleaners. So as well as, like,
yeah,
all
crazy.
This other stuff, there's loads of mad stuff there. Like, the Queen's got one for Stagecoach. She must love Stagecoach. But I'm like, where does the Queen got on the fucking bus?
Like, day rider.
Yeah, she's getting a day rider. Yeah. And obviously they're all on, like, Bentleys and Jaguars and stuff like that as well. It was interesting knowing who liked what more. The Queen was not a fan of Aston Martin.
Sure.
But it seemed like the Prince of Wales was a thing. But yeah, it's just dead weird. But like, I don't know if I'd want a seal of approval about the royal family and my products. I don't know if I'm anti-royal or not.
Well, don't you apply for them? Or do you just get given it?
I think you get given them because you've got to supply the royal house. But you refuse. Yeah.
Because people refuse, then, like, nightmares, don't like, they?
Yeah.
After that, though, it's like, oh, but what about my sales, though? Because the idea of it, they started doing these royal warranty things.
Yeah.
Because produce used to be so fucking random, there was nothing right. in there. So it like could be like horrible assurance. Stuff. It was like quality assurance is how yeah. it started off.
Yeah.
And then that's why people buy it more. And there is some comfort when you do see that little seal on a bottle.
Yeah.
You're like, there's, oh, it must
a, I think it was either a YouTube article or a written article. You have to look at it separately. I don't have all the facts here. But around the awards, around the awards that you get on food, where it's always like best presented, oh, and all these crazy yeah. things around the awards that they get, and you're like, how can there be multiple winners of the same award in a year? But it's yes. really fascinating. You should look it up. Just how much of a scam yeah. it is. Mm-hmm. You see all these awards labelled to make yeah. you think, oh wow, they must be the best. Must be the leader, but actually it's really shammy.
Yeah.
Sham.
It's like a wine tasting. You know, even like yeah. just wine tasting in general. You know, they did ones where they like mixed bottles up and stuff like mm. that, did them all different. And basically, especially with red wine, mm. if you went and won an award, it's random.
Yeah.
It's really? Random who's gonna win. They did like some signs and there'll be people that are wine drinkers that will argue against me on this, but I've seen it in just three different scientific
yeah.
observations. That was an absolute mm. sham. And they do taste different when you have them side by side. But mm. I think it's the idea of having like, because some of these awards, they have like 80 wines, 90 wines
yeah.
that you've got to try next to each other.
You'd be pissed.
Yeah. I mean, you're not gonna spit it out, are you, either? But I mean, like, how are you going to like taste that much stuff in that amount of time?
Yeah, yeah. It's a lot. Right, anything else, or should we close?
Closing
statements. Yeah, closing statements. Mm.
Okay.
I don't mind starting. I mean, I live with you, Nad, and I still can't believe you've never had a full cup of tea. And I'm sure many, many listeners are still reeling over that fact. They've probably paused the podcast, gone out, are telling everyone that they know someone now, or they listen to someone that has never had a full cup of tea, because you must be in a shocking minority.
But this is part of the reason why I think I'm still not going to try one, because it's a thing
it's
now,
an impressive
isn't it?
Fact.
I don't think it was a good podcast move. I mean, I've had a lot of people say your favourite personality on the podcast, and I think that's going to drop away now.
Really?
Yeah, I think they're going to like
you're
me.
You're
going
to get yeah, I think stained might forever. You're going to get tea stained.
I just think you're shocked.
I wondered what you were going to say.
Oh dear.
Yeah.
We'll I can make a good cup of tea, I just don't want to drink it.
How do you know it's a good one?
People have told me.
That's just polite.
We'll certainly know if the subs go down after this one.
Yeah, my fault. Sorry, guys.
As if. But yeah, it still amazes me.
Nadia.
My favourite thing that I learn is from my own research, and it may or may not be true. I do feel bad that I took everything from investopedia.com, so it might not be right. But it's about the fact that they, the Chinese made miniature versions of weapons and carried them around, and that's how trading they started currency. I think that's just a really lovely little thing that I did not know.
Wow.
Yeah. And I'm shocked to know people are more willing to buy an old toasted cheese sandwich than know the meaning of life. Anyway, that's been West Side Story. Thanks for listening. I hope you have a wonderful time, whatever you're doing out there.
Don't forget to rate and review, subscribe, tell your friends, share the joy.
Yes. Good day all. Ta-ra.
Bye.